to discuss the interaction with your students about what is going to happen when you find yourself in this new Finnish culture. So I guess most people here, pretty much everyone, is not from Finland, right? Or is there anyone here who is actually this? No. Okay. You're in the right place. I came here myself about 13 years ago, which is quite a while. I used to be an English teacher in Moscow, working in Brno in Moscow, and then I moved here to get my master's degree. Then I stayed for a PhD for another few years. During that time, I became a immense human experience, and it is not just something that, you know, in which you have to adapt and make yourself feel okay again, but it is also some of a place where you can kind of grow as an individual, as a professional, maybe as a person. So encountering a new culture, as we will talk today, about development, about growth, but it's also about adaptation. And one thing is encountering.
I'll click it, so maybe then it works.
So I suggest that we start with a little bit of getting to know each other, and I will be showing some questions, and you will raise your hand if it's here for you. And if you are in the chat, then you can press plus if it's true about you. And we will see what kind of chair people we have for some different backgrounds, and what are our similarities and possibly. So the first question is simple. Do you love pizza? Okay. So these type of things, which are about specific to a country, right? But they have become international and global. So there are areas that can be found all over the place. And in our modern globalized world, we have this kind of cultural exposure element, whether we travel or not. We are exposed to different cultural influences that we can appreciate and eat. Next one. You commuted by subway in your hometown. Yeah, maybe one third. Well, what about the chat?
No activity.
No activity. Okay, chat is very small. So, subway is a very common thing in a big city, right? I myself spent a lot of time in subway. The next one. You watched Last of Us. I think it was a very good deal. Yeah. So, this is entertainment place. Again, we all definitely local people watch things like Hollywood and Disney, and not only. So, they're all these kind of cultural influences and various social meanings that we get from Netflix and HBO. And this is something that unites people. Let's see something a little bit more nerdy. We also play. Yeah. Wow. That's all the same amount of people. Yeah, it's also a computer game. So for those of you who haven't heard it, it's a TV show with a very post-apocalyptic theme. It's pretty bad, you know, it's pretty difficult to watch, but it's also very good quality. So you can watch it if you are brave enough. I was actually thinking about which TV show to put here. That would be with a global outreach and popular enough that many people would raise their hand because there is so much variety. I thought of a Game of Thrones.
No, Game of Thrones?
Yeah, more people know. Okay, good. But I thought that maybe that's something in my mind, maybe, but in my generation, now we're going to Okay, next one. You read news in a foreign language. Wow,
that's impressive.
So, of course, if you are familiar or if you can read in different languages, it's a good idea to check news on important events to see what they say in other languages on various platforms. It gives you kind of a more variety of perspectives and better more theory news. Next one, there is a yoga studio in your hometown. The yoga is practice from India, right? But nowadays it has become largely global. So depending on where you live, and I think for people who are either from Europe, from more or less big cities or big towns, and people from Asia, where you have also big cities with all kinds of yoga studios, this is going to be a fact. Even though it is a foreign thing, essentially, it was a foreign thing in 20 years ago, but nowadays it's getting more and more acceptable, more and more normal, more and more unbound. Next one is really bitter. That is expensive in my home. So that's the problem. That's the problem, of course. There's also a similarity that people have with, say, if they come from urban areas, generally. If you come from a big city, you're in the middle, then probably you will have to pay a lot for it. It has the impact on many other things connected to how you plan your life, how you plan your income, your family, etc. Next one, many of my friends are married. Interesting. So quite a few people. Oh, we are going to have a discussion in a little bit, and you have the chance to talk about things. Can I have a little bit more silence? Thank you. Thanks. Extended family is important. Yeah, like your cousins, your aunt and uncles. Maybe all in two terms. So there are quite big differences in how we treat these kind of things. So in some places, in some countries, it's very typical for people to keep close contact with their cousins, with their aunts, their close members of their family. And the other, so let's say, of the me, I don't remember last time I saw and talked to my cousins, even though I do have them. But you know, there are big differences in how we treat these kind of things, this type of family connections. And the last one, you look forward to living the same. Yeah, everybody. So I hope that some people do not look forward to staying in the voyage to start looking for a way they're playing. So, encountering a new culture can happen in various ways, right? And generally, it's fair to say that in the modern globalized world, we encounter different cultures all the time. So even just by reading or watching movies, you already encounter many culturally different elements. By meeting people who come from different places and talking to them, like having these meaningful relationships with them, you also learn a lot about the culture. So we already encountered new and numerous cultures throughout our lives. But it is different when you are being submerged in a new cultural environment, when everything around you is different over extended period of time. So I wonder, there are many people here who actually have had this kind of long experience of staying in a foreign country for a while, maybe in your childhood with your parents or in your adulthood. Is there anybody who lived in a different country? Yeah, and how was it? Was it easier or was it difficult? Easily difficult. Difficult. Okay, sandy. Middle. Yeah. So of course, especially if it's something that happened in your childhood and you had a little control over it, it it's likely to be in some ways more difficult, in other ways maybe easier, right? Because children kind of soak in the environment very quickly, they're quick learners, right? And the attitude things are different. But this kind of exchange thing that you're up for is a very good culture boss for you. And the very good learnings here, it's not just culture-wise, but just human-wise. So what are we talking about when we say culture in general? There are many definitions, many ways in which you can define the word. And it's important that you hear to look at where it comes from, at the roots of the word culture. Now, it comes from Latin colere, which means to tend, to cultivate. And it is connected to agriculture, right? So when we grow different species of plants, typically for people, or just, these are mice. So we give them soil, we give them important nutrients, we give them sun, and then they grow a certain way. And we can guide this process, right? So in the process of selection or genetic modification, whichever one you choose, we can sort of guide the species to develop in a certain way so that it works better. And it was actually in this meaning that this word came first in the English, into English language, meaning to cultivate, cultivation of culture, meaning cultivation of soil. And only later it started, we started to understand it as this kind of human community of shared meaning. And the meaning is shared because we are brought up a certain way. So it is about cultivation of mind, faculties, and of manners. So we can see the slides, that's what I'm looking. Okay. Within the culture, through education system, through family, through media, through art, people are brought up a certain way. And there are many similarities in how people are brought up all over the world, also regionally. So if there are many people from Europe here, you may find actually many things here in Finland which are very similar to what you're used to back at home. But there are also many really strong differences in how people are brought up. And with this kind of cultural exposure, we can get a little bit more variety. So we see different, let's say, manifestations of how people can be cultivated into human beings. And it can be quite interesting at the very least. So this is about culture. And especially for people who are, educated, very higher education students. It is important to have some kind of general cultural and global awareness. This is why internationalization is one of the aspects that our university works on. So this is what they themselves say. Students at the University of Jyväskylä develop a JYU identity during their studies, which includes, among other things, strong communication skills, language skills, and cultural awareness, as well as global and ethical responsibility. Right. So, as educated people, we carry this sort of cognitive, intellectual, epistemological responsibility. And for this, we should be a little bit more aware of things beyond our own courtyard, so to say. Also, different cultures, different understandings of the world. So, what you're going to see here when you are dipped into a new culture. It can be portrayed with this fun metaphor of iceberg. Maybe some of you have encountered it somewhere before in educational videos or trainings, or it's very common. The idea is that there is a part of culture which you can see, right? That is sort of explicit, that is visual, or that's tangible, something that you can eat, such as pizza. But local cuisine, let's say local arts, local festivals and rituals, all things that are done here, local design and aesthetics. So these kind of things that people are aware of generally when they look at the culture, they can say, oh, yeah, this is our cultural thing. People who come to the next, to the new place, also can see that maybe very often this is the reason why they come to a new place, because they want to experience it. They want to see it, they want to touch it, and smell it, and eat it, typically, and drink it, important. And this is a part which you don't have to like it. Some people like the local cuisine, some don't. Some people like the local designs of stone, but generally they are quite unproblematic, right? And they are quite unambiguous as well. What is the problematic part is this, the lower part of the iceberg, which is under the water, that you cannot see. And this is composed of norms and moral understandings, which can be prescribed by religion, by history of the place. And even if people are not so, you know, interested in history or religion, it still programs how they are going to think about certain things. So this is about attitudes, largely, how people treat different parts of life, like gender roles, for example, or levels of inequality within the society and how it's tolerated. This can be things that people don't give a second thought to when they live in a certain place, but you know, they're implicit. Well, that it just feels right. This is how you do it. This is the right way, of course. But for a foreigner coming as a tourist or coming as an exchange student, these things can cause a little bit of traction. So, because it's not evident, you might not be aware what it means. Why like this? This is really weird. This is wrong. But actually, they are also part of the culture. And very often, this part and this part can be somewhat interconnected. But there can be some of the, say, common rituals in the society which are connected to this specific, to some specific norms, specific beliefs which are common in the culture. So I would like to do this activity, kind of reflection activity with you. I would like you to think, I'll focus on the positive side, so I would like you to think of three things that you encounter here in Finland already. And if you're in the chat, then you can think, or your what you know about them, maybe some facts that you know, you've been here before, and remember this, you can write down or memorize yourself three things that pleasantly surprise you. What could that be? Doesn't have to be anything abstract, it can be very basic things, or maybe some small things that you encounter when you came to the airport. Something that caught your eye. Okay? You have your three things? Good. And I want you to share at least one of these three things. And together you can think about whether and how this is something that could be connected to the local values, general attitudes. Okay, so this is here, and I would like to talk about it in terms of and last one, people want to be advanced, they want to be on the side. One thing, I'm really fairly surprised by it because my Finnish language teacher back in the States kind of told me about it. But the accessibility for disabled people in this country is unbelievable. It's so good. I don't really have to worry about how much I'm able to walk that day because I can either hop on a bus or walk up a ramp. I mean, the bathrooms are wet bathrooms, which are the most accessible bathrooms. They're great. Yeah, really cool. That's wonderful. That's great. And you, well, it's clear, right? What kind of background you disconnected?
Equality.
Equality, right. Very good. And you can actually see, I think a lot of people on Google Maps, it's also marked. The space is accessible. Excellent, thank you. So this is the kind of reflection that will really help you along the way. If you're observant of the things, you know, that you see around you, that you encounter, and then you think about, okay, what does it tell me about the local place, maybe its history, its values, what's important for people, how they construct the place around them. So,
yes.
So here are some of the things that have already been mentioned. The local values. If you want to read a little bit more about the Finnish values and comparing with Finland, you can visit this page. And they have some explicit information very short and clear. It's a good introduction. So equality, right? The gender equality and gender equality between all people and the equity, so the support to people who need it. Trust. So the fact that people generally trust each other, they trust their institutions. They trust their media, and from there you get honesty, right? So we try not to break the trust. That's why it is important to, you know, speak the truth and generally be clear about their intentions and who's there. And individualism, right? Not in a sense of being selfish, but in a sense of respecting your boundaries and your personality, and also respecting the boundaries and the personality of others, respecting their individual choices, etc. And modesty, so being sort of being humble generally. This is how you can sue. So not asking too much for yourself, not bragging, not like putting yourself first, not like cutting the line. So everybody sort of knowing their position in the society. And of course, nature. Nature is very big here. It's very important. It's all around. It's beautiful, right? And people really value nature. And from that comes some of the very kind of typical behaviors. People trying to run their lives in a way that damages the environment less rather than more. And it's very normal because you see. So it's typical, it's very non-typical to, let's say, litter in the streets, to throw around stuff. It's important to be respectful to the space where you are and to keep it pretty, or maybe prettier than when you're there. So this is the thing. And as you're experiencing something like this, the question is, whether you will be experiencing the so-called culture shock, right? So the question is whether all of this stuff is going to shock you eventually. The fun part about the culture shock and the theories or hypotheses about it that you might have heard of, I don't know if you've heard of this, you, well, maybe if you were watching some videos online before going for your exchange, that you might have encountered something like this. So the theory is that in the beginning you feel fine and cool, everything is nice, you're kind of enchanted and in love with a new place, it's called honeymoon phase, and then it gets worse, you get the crisis, like you feel really bad, and everything is non-familiar, difficult, and wrong, you know, and you feel like going back home. But then you kind of start to readjust, and then the same thing is supposed to happen when you come back home, because things have changed. You have changed. You have to go through this period once again. Then some people have said that maybe the honeymoon period is not what everyone gets, but at least you get a gradual adjustment. So the idea of culture shock comes from the times, before the world was globalized. This stuff is from the 50s and 60s. So now you see that, like, or I see from your reactions, from your answers, that you have already had some level of cultural exposure. You are familiar with the idea of cultural differences. It's not something that's going to shock you, probably. Even like back at home, you have plenty of different cultures living in the same place. It's okay. You're used to coexistence. And you're also quite reflexive, so you can look at things and think about, you know, this kind of underlying cultural meanings. So it's rather maybe the spot for your reflection, for your kind of deepening of your understanding of this place, rather than a shock. Like, oh my God, everything is different. You know, people actually talk in a different language. Insane. So as you can imagine, this theory is not, this kind of curve is not necessarily something that awaits you. So that depends, the trajectory your line will follow depends on many factors, including, you know, your predisposition, your personality, your situation, how different your country is from Finland, and all of these things, and also what kind of resources you have. So it doesn't always work this way, it's the same thing. So here's an example. We haven't tested many times, and mostly it doesn't really work. this was one example when I did the work. There were two stages of interviews with 26 students. They were masters and PhD students, mostly, but still. So they were asked, in the second interview, they were asked to think back about their experience of their stay in a different university and which graph would characterize their stay most. So you can see the U-curve thing. That people talk about this year, so it's G. And I would like you to guess. So what do you think? How many of them actually chose the U-curve to describe their experience? There are three answers. Only about half, so it's kind of not very reliable. Less than a half, like 20, 30% maybe. And the, relatively like fewer than 5%. Okay, so try to guess how many people out of the 26 students describe their experience at the U-curve. Answer A, about half. Answer B, less than half. Yeah, more. And fewer than 5. Yeah, so the correct answer is 2. So. it's very individual generally, and the most typical ones are actually these two, but even they are not very overwhelmingly typical. So the experience of them vary. Some people have kind of a headline, yeah, it's fine, I feel fine as hell, I'm feeling fine here as well, it's very fine. But the good news is that nobody, at least only 26 people, know that it feels like a downward trend. Good, very good views. Right. So typically, people who is in this position, students, they recommend to adjust. But of course, it could also be that the people who are experiencing the downward situation, they never made a student study. Probably, and I'm not going to talk about it during this. So it can also be an option. But this also means that if you hear about the same U-curve saying that you're bound to have some kind of crisis period, and it's just a stage, it also means that it's not necessarily a stage. So if you're feeling like this, then it's important to not discard this experience and actually turn for help. Because it might not finish, it will just, waste your time and spoil the experience. So it's important to be quite attentive to yourself and to care about your well-being. But some ups and downs are generally to be expected. So many people experience this kind of fluctuation with their strong feelings in general. So what happens generally, any type of move like this, a new environment, new studies, new people, it's going to be stressful. So there will be difficult emotions, probably to a greater extent than when you're what you're used to at home, like anxiety, uncertainty about things, or feeling homesick. It's very normal, and it's very normal to have like different states here, even the same day. So you can be fluctuating with this sense. You can even get some physical symptoms like disturbed sleeping patterns, or feeling careful and disgusted with food and so these type of things. But the most important thing is, of course, sociocultural adaptation. It's additionally to stress, and this depends on the cultural difference. How different the culture actually is to you, and how much you like it as well. How much contact you have with the locals, it may be something difficult to find, but still it's worth doing it because you learn much more from other people when you hang out with them. Just generally taking interest in the country and being open and being mindful, being observant, really keeping your eyes open for the things out there and the place. So, one more for me. I'll exchange signs. Yeah, so this is something that you will have to experience anyway. But some people don't do it. But generally, of course, it's all of it, right? The experience is very cool. And all of the facets of the experience are important, including this, which is the art where you meet new people, where you bond with people, where you get to develop all kinds of fun situations. So it's important for life development. It's part of the platform. But this is ultimately the primary purpose of social exchange studies. So the first step in the Erasmus program is called Erasmus Rotterdam. The thinker, theologian, philosopher from Rotterdam, obviously, from the beginning of the modern era. So he was known for his open mind. He traveled a lot, which was not typical. He was also a humanist. And his ideas were about lowering conflicts and creating more peace, building bridges, and finding our common grounds, these type of things. And that is part of why the old Erasmus thing is called after him. Very much in line with this idea of, you know, creating peace through cultural learning, openness, and getting to know each other, getting to know the various views. So why would you want to do something like this? A very recent study actually showed that there are some pretty cool effects to doing the program beyond the fun and meeting people and the traveling, etc., and getting the cool photos for your Instagram. There's also something that changes your personality. So the first thing is that people who seem to went through the exchange were more bound or were more interested in international orientation. So they were more interested in getting jobs in international companies, in even taking assignments abroad, and working in areas where there was cultural and international context, which of course offers typically better opportunities, and at the very least it's more interesting. Also, they grew their cultural intelligence. So, like IQ, cultural intelligence. So, how well they could understand, how well they knew various cultures, how well they could understand whether something is cultural, how well they could reflect on various cultural differences and similarities. So, this was much stronger after the exchange, especially the communist side. There are also other ones like behavioral and motivational. So one could say maybe motivation was already quite strong in the event of the exchange. So at least they also got something on the level of knowledge and understanding. And they also developed CISU, do you know what it's CISU? Yeah, the learned word. So CISU is the Finnish word for resilience, which is supposed to be interplayed, but in translated, of course, it's interplayable. It is about your resilience and the coping with challenges. So this is quite a surprising finding. These people were better able to cope with future challenges in their life in general, also back at home. And this is pretty cool. So you see that beyond just, you know, traveling and partying and you know, getting credits, you also become generally more likely, more successful, wiser and more culturally apt, and also more resilient. I think that's a pretty cool package, isn't it? Congratulations. So some of the tips that I can share before we have to finish, I will leave you with it. So as we saw from the graphs, there will be ups and downs, and it's normal. You experience, you know, these difficulties, bad moods, and the desire to just leave, you know, tomorrow, take a plane. But there will also be ups. And it's important to focus on the positive things. And when we feel that we need that help, it's important to reach out for that help, even if it's just, you know, calling your friends or parents back at home and having a normal conversation, or finding someone else, you know, for example, a friend that you may hear, and having to talk with them. And also, of course, asking for professional help if it's necessary. But sometimes just, you know, hanging around people who understand you, who will listen to you, is already a big deal. And also, it's important to keep your mind open for new contacts, for new, you know, new faces, new stories, etc. And the differences and the similarities that you're going to encounter is something that, of course, gives you some understanding of how diverse the world is. So you build global awareness throughout this, but it also tells you a lot about yourself and your own values, right? Where you stand and what you are and what is important to you and what you could maybe learn from others and what is something that you would like to hold on. And of course, because it's so intense, it is important to be kind and generally respectful to ourselves and not to strain yourself too much. And to always remember why you are here and how it is important to you. Okay? So, eat us, yeah, never want.
If there are, yeah, if they. Okay, thank you. I can take this. So this is very last. So this marks the end of the first orientation day, but before you all leave, we will be outside. So me, my colleague Vivi, and some other international office staff, if you have an arrival certificate that you need a signature on, we can sign it today outside in the lobby. But if you don't have it yet,